It's the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A presentation of Becky Holm, your insurance professional, focusing on Medicare, Marketplace, dental, and life.
On Monday, the Oregon State Legislature begins their short session for 2026, constitutionally mandated 35 days. So lots going to be going on. We're going to get a preview right now. State Representative Alex Garlatos represents the 4th District, Southern Douglas County, parts of Jackson, Josephine County as well. Alex, thanks for being on this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So what is this shaping up like to you? Obviously, the whole issue about when to refer the transportation tax to the voters looks like it's going to take up a lot of space in the docket.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to take up most of the oxygen in the room, so to speak. The big fight, of course, is that the Democrats want to push it to May, and we want to push it all the way to November. Really what it comes down to is the Democrats don't want to be on the ballot in the general election, especially, you know, Tina Kotek running against Drazen or whoever else from our side wins the primary. They just don't want that to be on the ballot and drive voters that are frankly angry with them for passing the transportation package. They knew it was incredibly unpopular when they did it. They did it anyway due to basically union pressure. And unfortunately, the people don't want it. And so they are really trying to avoid that by putting it on the May primary, which to me is a little bit offensive because I understand that, sure, you might want an answer sooner rather than later. But what that's really doing is disenfranchising a lot of the non-affiliated voters that really only show up for the general election. And those are a lot of the people that signed the referendum to get it on the ballot in the first place.
Now, that's an interesting point. I'm not sure I thought of that one because so many folks are unaffiliated now that puts an interesting wrinkle into it. What do you think the end result's going to be? Do you think it ends up in May or November?
Oh, that's going to be to be determined. That's really up to the rest of my caucus. That's up to the Democrats and how they handle the situation. We're going to do everything we can to push it to November because we want them to be held accountable for this, and we want everyone possible to be able to vote on it. So we're going to do whatever we can. There's a lot of unknowns when it comes to timelines, when it needs to be on the ballot, how long we can actually delay it. It's to be determined, and it really just kind of depends on all of us sticking together.
How does the legislature, as folks watch what's going to happen here, get to all these other things if that topic takes up so much time?
Well, it's going to take up a lot of time, but a lot of that conversation is going to be in the background. It's not necessarily going to take up time on the floor because they're not going to want to bring something unless they're sure that they have the votes. So that'll kind of be a lot of conversations between our leader, Lucetta, and Speaker Fahey and Tina Kotek. And there's really just a lot of conversations among the Democrats in their own caucus that's really going to determine when that comes to the floor. We're still going to have to do all of our other responsibilities, like hearing bills and getting them out of committee. There's still going to be a lot of other controversial stuff to talk about. I know the Democrats are bringing a lot of anti-ICE legislation, the short session, in response to what Trump is doing. So I'm sure we're going to have a lot to talk about there as well, but we can cross that bridge when we get there.
Each member of the House can put out two pieces of legislation, if I have it right. What are you looking at introducing?
I am running a piece of Ibogaine legislation again, and Ibogaine, if you recall, is kind of a therapeutic psychedelic similar to psilocybin, and it treats kind of specifically TBI, PTSD, and drug addiction. And so it's been very popular among the veteran community, and it's not a good time to use, so it's not really recreationally abused. So we're trying to legalize that under the same framework as psilocybin so that some of the people in the most extreme cases can get help. My other piece of legislation is repealing 916, which is the bill that we passed in the long session that allows striking union workers to collect unemployment benefits. And so when that goes into effect, if we see a lot of strikes, there might be an appetite to actually repeal it. And so I have the bill ready to do that.
Talk about that first piece of legislation. Again, I'm not familiar with that substance. How did you come into learning more about this?
Right now, it's kind of a niche topic just among the veteran community. There's a lot of veterans with PTSD and TBI that have done Ibogaine, and they have to go to Mexico to seek this treatment. And I have always kind of heard about it, and it's, you know, been a topic of conversation, but I actually got lobbied on psilocybin during the long session, and I had already, you know, had my Ibogaine legislation back then, and I asked the guys, I was like, hey, is this, what do you guys know about Ibogaine? Have any of you done it? And one of the guys who ran a psilocybin clinic said, yes, I've done it. And I asked him, well, how was it? And he said, oh, it's about 10 times better than psilocybin. And, you know, they're lobbying me on psilocybin. So coming from him, that meant a lot. So it's, again, it just, from all the people that I've heard that have taken it, it's almost like a overnight cure. It's kind of a 4-hour medication, and you feel terrible during it. But once it's over, a lot of people have reported fantastic results, almost like it's too good to be true in a way. So we'll see what happens. I haven't done it yet, to be honest, but it's, it seems to be very promising, and I want to have all the tools in the toolkit for treating things like PTSD.
What are some of the other hot topics you think are going to be in this legislative session?
Well, mostly, again, ICE legislation, disconnecting from the federal tax cuts that are coming down, which would kind of be unfortunate for a lot of the working class people in Oregon that are already overtaxed. So it's just going to be a lot of fights with how we relate to the federal government. There was one really controversial bill saying that if the federal government takes away any federal funding due to the fact that we're a sanctuary state, then we would withhold money that we would send to the federal government in retaliation, which frankly would not go well for us because we receive much more money than we send in federal dollars. And I think that's about 2/3 of our entire budget. So we would not win that fight.
And do you feel like, the pace of a short session, I'm told, is just way faster than the regular session?
Well, this will be my first short session, so I'll let you know.
Are there any bigger concerns you have about things out there coming into the session that are going to get pushed through?
Pretty much everything, to be honest with you. I mean, even some of my legislation, at the end of the day, the short session is meant to be a budget rebalance. And when you have people injecting all these other controversial topics like dealing with ICE and the federal government into the short session, it's just not what it was ever constitutionally meant to be. That's why it's only 5 weeks, because it's not meant to handle full pieces of legislation and all these other topics. I know we're limited to 2 bills per short session, which probably is a good thing. But at the end of the day, we still do way more than we're supposed to.
All right. We'll check it again as the session gets underway. State Representative Alex Scarlatos, thanks for being on this morning.
Thanks for having me.
8:40 at the Morning Report.